Welcome to Manager Tools. How to master your response to your engagement survey, part 3. The questions this cast answers are, how do I respond to my engagement survey results? What can I do when my organization does an engagement survey? And how can I improve my engagement survey results? Answers to these questions and more in this cast. Keep listening. Host a Manager Tools Effective Manager Conference for your organization. The training program that gives your managers techniques they can use that are guaranteed to get results while retaining employees. Our easy framework of one-on-ones, feedback, and delegation rolls out models that help your bottom line and is presented in an interactive and energetic delivery. And with our personalized service, we'll have a call to understand your current organization, managerial, and behavioral practices so we can then tailor the learning specifically to your group of up to 30 attendees. Email us today at customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn more.
Okay, that brings us to the engagement industry and not the fun kind.
Exactly.
We've skipped over the first decade, essentially, of development of the theory of employee engagement for a solid reason, y'all, on purpose. The original theory, the thread of Professor Kahn's work has been expanded upon so significantly that the basis of his idea isn't really present. Sarah said this. It's not really present in the current version of what's out there.
We've gotten a bit far afield.
Yes. Oh, another alliterative turn of phrase that is quite beautiful. The general concept of engagement had become widely studied with many different definitions and branches and interpretations. Again, normal. This is normal in the propagation of academic research. And what we've already said today, we would recommend that you also do this with the ideas that come into you, that
yes,
this is a good thing, and the idea of engagement resonated.
Yes.
People talked about it. People worked on it. People thought about it. People wrote papers about it. And this entire time, it didn't get very clearly defined, employee engagement.
Yeah. If you haven't been thinking this yet, I have been thinking this the entire time.
Yeah. If they come to their desk and they're at their desk all day long and they work and they talk to their peers and they go to meetings, are they not engaged?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently not.
Right. So what all this meant was that outside of the academic world and the research going on, because again, fun turn of phrase, it caught on, human resource consulting firms and HR management firms and HRIS platforms were free to create engagement businesses without being tied to a measured and tested concept.
Super fun times.
Super fun times. It wasn't really defined. And people were then allowed to define it themselves.
Oh, so dangerous.
So dangerous.
This is how apples and oranges and pears and bananas and, frankly, cars get compared to each other.
Right.
Because some of those things aren't even in the same category. Right. And you know why? Because nobody told you what the category even is.
Exactly. They are all in a category. Inanimate objects.
This is what's happened.
This is exactly what's happened.
It could mean
anything.
Inanimate
object. It means inanimate object. All of this was made possible, essentially, because most corporate organizations who are, let's face it, the customers of the HR industry, don't do exhaustive reviews of theories that underpin the products that are sold. I mean, none of the organizations purchasing engagement tools, employee engagement tools, are looking back in the research and identifying that William Kahn developed it and did all these tests and then following all of the psychological studies that were done to try and, no, that's not what organizations do. Organizations are good at buying things and they do like a marketable concept.
Totally.
And every company wants their employees to be engaged. Here we are.
The idea, y'all, that people are not doing the due diligence on research is we are at a point in time where your responsibility to due diligence is higher than it has been historically. I would say most people do zero historically. Yeah. And we always had some responsibility to do it and people didn't do it. Y'all, you are living in the world of ChatGPT and AI, and you could then end up in a situation a couple years from now where your organization, your HR group is buying software to get y'all in a survey or score system associated with something that was invented by a computer.
Yeah.
Somebody could write, ChatGPT, some kind of AI could write a paper that says employees tested this thing and blah, blah, blah. And it's not real.
It's not
it could
real.
Be totally written by a piece of software. And I'm not suggesting that writing things via software is bad. I'm suggesting if you don't know where it came from, you have a bigger problem because you could be spending money on something that was invented by nobody. Right now, and until things shift a little bit, and maybe they won't, so maybe forever, you have a higher obligation to your organization, to yourselves, to vet ideas that come into you because they could have come from somebody who isn't somebody.
Right. It's absolutely true. I mean, organizations, we have a responsibility to ensure that we know what we're buying and what we're trying to measure.
Gosh, I really hope so.
We always have, to Kate's point, we always have. And in the case of engagement, it would appear that we've not done a very good job of it.
If you don't know Dr. Khan's name, but your organization is doing engagement, I would suggest maybe that's very little due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, company said, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
We've heard of it, blah, blah, blah. Psychology, great. And so then we have this like explosion of the idea of engagement and this propagation in organizations. And now just the idea of engagement was popular, but firms who wanted to sell services around it weren't tied to the original idea. They didn't even know about it. And they weren't tied to any research.
Exactly.
So they could just sell snake oil, essentially. And as long as it, you know, in a person's mind related to the idea of engagement, somebody could buy it. This gives them so much freedom to make sure that concepts incorporated into engagement products were palatable and sounded good and sounded sparkly and sounded cool, whether or not those products or concepts were necessarily at any time in any way related to engagement.
Yeah, exactly.
Oof.
Exactly. And
getting
folks,
spun up.
I know, right? To be fair, in our opinion, engagement was at this point literally just an idea.
Sure.
A single word, not a body of work,
right?
Not data, not studies that have been done proving something. It's almost as if the engagement industry asked themselves, what do we want engagement to be? And then just made it up.
And it's, listen, one guy says, hey, you know what sounds right? People should be engaged at work. And I interviewed some people and they kind of agree. So I'm going to write it down. And That's an honest, positive thing. And then everybody else was like, you know what? That does sound right.
That does sound right.
And what should we're going to call it engagement, but what should we say is engagement? And okay, at the beginning, the earliest significant player was Gallup.
Uh-huh.
They had a Q12 engagement survey. They started earlier than most. Okay. And y'all, full disclosure, the Q12 survey out of Gallup, we think is the best there is. We think that that's the best we've ever seen.
And they're known for their research.
Sure. And maybe it's because they're at the beginning. Maybe they were closest to the original idea. So we admire them. Generally, we admire their work. Okay. But then others.
Exactly. Others beyond Gallup started creating their own surveys, measuring what they believe are indicators or drivers of engagement. And this is one of our main problems with the engagement industry. Because all of these companies say they're measuring the same thing, engagement. But none of them are measuring the same thing because they can't infringe on competitor surveys.
Inanimate objects.
Some have 12 questions, some 25, some even 45. Some, we've seen, over 100 questions. And they're all different questions. Some are subtly different. Some are not subtly different questions. They are literally a group of organizations who are saying that they're measuring the same thing, but do not ask the same questions. In fact, ask wildly different questions. So I ask, how can this all be measuring engagement? We're all doing it differently.
I am really glad that you're also spun up.
It's not the same thing. You're measuring different things. It's not all engagement. What is engagement?
Maybe this is the start of everybody saying out loud to each other, engagement isn't really a thing.
It's harsh to say, but dude, it's true.
We should have said this at the very beginning. We should have started with engagement is not a thing. And okay, it's really hard to avoid the logic because we're not trying to be negative about good ideas. We're not.
No.
We've done what a lot of people aren't willing to do, which is vet this idea.
We've done the research. Most people don't want to have time to care to, I don't know, any number of things.
So, okay, so we've said, okay, here's the logic. We're going to follow it. It's really hard to avoid the idea then if you dig in that every firm is just selling engagement services that they define in their own way and it doesn't match whatever. Okay. And look, we just think that everybody in the industry ought to say, yeah, we sell engagement services. There's no clear definition of what it is. So we made up our own definition. We created our own way to measure it. And then you could say, well, then I'm going to choose the one I like. Hopefully there's somebody out there, their firm says we have to measure engagement. And you could say, oh, I'll choose the firm. So then you could pick at least one that is valid. Although I don't know that they're all going to show you their surveys.
That's the thing. What are you truly measuring? Ask each of those vendors, what is the definition of engagement? That should be the first question you ask any vendor, if you're even considering doing this, what is the definition of engagement? Because that will help you leverage, let's say, possibly a tool that might be useful because you know what it's measuring.
But what if all it is just like full of buzzwords? Because that's the thing. It's like when people talk about measuring happiness,
yes,
there's a whole industry there too. About all you can really do is say, how happy are you? Which is, okay, kind of what the engagement industry did by asking employees how engaged they are and then asking them other questions about how they experience the workplace, blah, yeah, blah. Okay. Except this is subjective. And then people tie it to employees' feelings, workplace experiences. It's like somebody took four things and put them together and said, this will be soup. And it's not.
Yeah.
You can't tie their subjective evaluation of happiness or, frankly, engagement, yeah, and their feelings to work.
Exactly. And I wish this was our only concern with engagement. Unfortunately, we have some more concerns with said industry and the ideas and the implementation. How do we know that employees who say they're actually engaged are engaged? How do we know they're engaged? We don't know they're engaged. In fact, in many cases, the engagement industry surveys no longer ask how engaged the employee is. They only ask about what their workplace experience is. And from that inference, they make determinations about the employee's level of engagement.
It's like asking someone, how was your day? And then using that to gauge how happy they are.
Yeah.
And that's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It's apple car. Again, apple orange car. Bad on the engagement company, mm-hmm, and the firm.
Yeah.
Right? Their definition. And worse because all these different companies have different definitions.
Yeah, exactly. One firm, because again, guys, we've done the research around this. We've been interacting with these firms to try and get more information. We wanted this to be a real thing. We wanted engagement to be a thing for you. We did.
We hoped to fulfill your dreams.
No.
We found your dreams hollow and without merit.
So not
that was
cool.
Mean.
I hate
I'm
it.
Too spicy today. Oof. Hey, y'all. On June 1st, we are increasing the price of attending our in-person public conferences. That applies to EMC, ECC and EHM in person. The prices will be $1,300 for one day, $2,100 for 2 days, and $3,400 for all 3 days. And those prices reflect any combination that you'd like to put together of training days. Please know that we are keeping our virtual events at the same price point, and we're letting you know this now so that if you wanted to purchase an attendance, any event between now and the end of the year, you can at the current price point. So we'd like to just give you that information up front. It's been almost 10 years since we increased our prices of in-person events, and we've added a lot of value, including PMI PDUs, as we've been sharing with you recently. If you have any questions, please let us know. And if you'd like to get registered, manager-tools.com/training.
All right. So one firm told us that no, all engagement surveys aren't different, at least in the theory. They said, if you look at them, they all say, and we're quoting now, we're not making this up. They all say something like, engagement is how connected an employee is to their company and culture.
Are you serious? That is 17 buzzwords all linked together.
Yes. They then, to go a step further, admitted that connection is hard to measure and that they only have one survey, but it's used in many companies, which all have, as you might imagine, different cultures.
For shame.
So now we're using the same survey to measure many different cultures within many different organizations so we can determine how connected an employee is, but we also don't define connection.
Not to mention the fact that they don't even ask if people are engaged. Oof, y'all. Okay, so in doing this research, also we discovered at one major engagement industry firm, they admit on their own website at our company, bunny ears again, at our company, we define employee engagement as the extent to which employees feel a connection to their company and its culture. Y'all, did you hear that first part? The bunny ears part? At our company. If engagement is a known thing, how is it that different companies define it differently?
Exactly. And how can you measure the connection to a culture with the same survey applied to different cultures every single time? At our company makes it seem as though it's specific because our culture at our company has got a specific culture.
Okay, but they're selling it to people, right? So like, sure, their survey might work for them. And I bet it does. I bet it's based on their culture at their organization. I have been to software firms where they have a beer fridge in the break room and a gym and there's people playing ping pong. And I've been to software firms where everybody looks like lawyers and it's silent and they're quiet. And those are two distinctly different cultural environments for the same type of work. And you cannot tell me that a survey that works at one works at the other and that both those groups of people want the same thing.
Exactly. Those are different people.
It completely leaves out the idea. Oh, I can't.
I would go a step further and say all people are different people. So it's just, it's not.
Oof, well, how dare you suggest?
I know, right?
But that's the other tension here, right? Is where it's like everybody's different, but we're going to use this one size fits all survey that measures something that we cannot define. Mm-hmm.
Before we take into account any of the determining factors within your organization or its culture or what you do or anything. Here's this one size fits
job
all solution. Exactly, including job performance, which engagement surveys don't discriminate based upon. That is, when surveys are taken and processed and returned to the corporate client, it's all anonymous. You don't get to know whether your employees feel engaged and which of your employees feel more and less engaged.
Right. Is it the good guys? Is it the bad guys?
Yeah. The people that are like your top performers, are they the engaged ones? Are the lower performers the engaged ones? You don't know. You can make assumptions about it.
Sure.
But you don't have data on that.
That's not data.
That's not data on that.
And is it chicken or egg? Are the best employees best because they're engaged? Or is it the other way around, like productivity and happiness again? So this survey is also not linked. This is what we're really saying, y'all. The surveys around engagement are not in any way linked to productivity.
No, and performance at all.
Even though as a manager, you're required to create productivity.
Mm-hmm.
And this totally leaves aside smaller firms where let's say you only have four employees and you have one very disgruntled one who maybe is in a performance improvement program or they're headed for that. And you'd be delighted to be allowed to let that person go. However, in the survey, 25% of your score comes from this person who's trapped. Mm-hmm. And now, even though you have three people who are rocking it and doing all the work because they're the superstars and this other person isn't performing to standard, you've hired these superstars and maybe you didn't hire the poor performer. Now your engagement score is low and you're expected to fix it even though you don't want to because this person isn't doing their job.
Even though you don't need to. I would argue even though you don't need to. Changing your organization, the way you manage it, its culture to meet the needs of one person, which we've already determined you do not want to keep, would be wrong. It would be a terrible idea. Why would you make changes to fix something that, let's face it, isn't broken? One person's
because
broken.
Because engagement, obviously.
Exactly, because engagement. And not to mention the fact that engagement surveys are something that is taken at one time. It's a snapshot in time of a current situation. It's not a longitudinal study making these decisions or determinations. What that means is if your team found out last week that the project they've been working so hard on has been canceled, you're very likely going to be saddled with engagement survey results that concern your bosses. And we say bosses because everyone up the chain is going to be able to see your results if they want to. And they knew the project was canceled. And nobody came down and did or said anything to the team or for the team on behalf of the company. But now what we've got is engagement survey statistics, outputs that say your team has low engagement and now you're a problem. Your team is a problem. We need to fix it.
We actually did specifically have one person write in who said that, hey, our company's going through what is essentially like a splitting and mm-hmm. like a new, they're being acquired and yeah. there's this like merger thing. And it's really hard. Things are really hard right now. And the engagement survey came during this process, which is inevitably really difficult. And then that manager, specifically executive, was saddled with the burden of this engagement survey,
yeah.
which the reason for the engagement isn't the manager. There is a systemic issue, and it's not even an issue, but there's like this actual thing happening at the organization, and we're not going to admit that in the engagement. Sure, if things are rough and you take an engagement survey, the assumption would be that it would be low.
You would assume. I would suggest
that assumes that, logic, which yeah. we've clearly decided is out the window.
Exactly.
With this
I would guess that situation is actually far more common than organizations just randomly doing an engagement survey, let's call it out of the blue. I think after a major event like a merger, an acquisition, or a reorganization, whatever it may be, that's when organizations, while people are still bruised and bleeding, that's when people want to, or organizations, I should say, that's when organizations want to do an engagement survey. But
right,
of course people are battered. Of course people aren't really overly engaged right now. There's still that fear. There's still that uncertainty. There's still that doubt, right? We got like some FUD going on. And now, because to your point, something that is larger than the manager, beyond what we can change or do anything about, let's face it.
Right.
We now have these results suggestive of the fact that we have an issue here mm-hmm. and it's not an issue we can do anything about. It's frankly, because we're doing the survey now, an issue that we knew existed. So is having information to support what we already knew was true? People are going through something right now. Necessary information. Is that in any way helpful? Or is it just a massive waste of money?
It's the kind of thing that people don't necessarily probably like contract for an engagement survey when things are good.
Yeah, things are good. Why would we do that?
Things are good. Why would we need to
throw money at engagement when you know things are going good?
Right, because you don't need to increase engagement.
Yeah.
Oh, so, okay. And we do want to get to the heart of engagement, which we, from our perspective as part of our service to y'all, is really about the manager's experience with engagement and what to do about it.
That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week for a continuation of today's topic.